Very warm welcome to you. You are listening to a message from Word Fountain Christian Ministries. Be blessed.
At this time, we want to go into the next session of the seminar. And I want to invite Dr. Let me ask my husband to introduce his friend. They knew themselves before I knew him. So it's actually a great pleasure. Amen.
I have this singular honor again to introduce my friend of over 40-something years. You all know him as Cornelius, I know him as Tokumbo. And we grew up together when we were like this. And looking at him now, he's still as gentle as himself. And I will not for once believe that both of us can be part of this kind of trend and move. Because when looking back to our past, we know what it's like. You can see the traces in me. There are some things that when you get to a certain age, you are not able to change. You just have to. But then you are doing that for God. I like dancing a lot. I like music. I'm sure he does. So it's my pleasure to introduce my friend. You can rely very much on him because the last time he came in here, they mentioned something that health is, can I remember? Health is for the body, wealth is for the pocket. I remember they said that at that time. And I know that today they've gone higher than what they deposited in us then. If I can remember that, it has always been my guiding principle, because without your health, you cannot make wealth. And if you have made wealth, there is no way that when you are not healthy, you will spend the wealth. I pray that the combination of both, health and wealth, will be our portion today in Jesus' name. So please, can we all rise up and welcome our evangelist, Ratu Kumbo Brown. Can you introduce her?
Yeah, okay. Christina Brown.
And the wife. I don't want to say what I should not say, but I'll say this. Atokumbo is very lucky to have Christiana as a wife. And you're just looking yourself. Why some smile? I mean, when I came in, this is about how many years ago that you were here? That's about seven years ago, yes. So when I came in, I saw the smile, and I just picked on her. I mean, my friend, I cannot miss. Amen. So you are welcome, ma'am. God bless you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the warm welcome. Firstly, I just want to say a very big thank you to your senior pastor for inviting us. I never take it lightly when any minister decides to share their pulpit with us, especially someone as reputable as your pastor. You know she's actually quite well known, and I know she's a no-nonsense person, so I don't take this lightly at all, and I just give glory to God for this opportunity. Also, it's a privilege to see my friend again. It's like he came to actually welcome us. That's why he came today. That was an incredible testimony. I mean, I was almost in tears listening to you. And because something you don't know, on my way here, I was saying to myself, because your wife already told me you'll be here. So I was saying that I was going to say to you that at our age, because I mean, I know we've both turned 60, and I was going to say to you, isn't it wonderful that we have reached this age? And I didn't even know how important that was. I was thinking that, honestly, I was going to say that here. But when you now gave your testimony, wow, I said how poignant was that point I was going to make. Also, I don't think God is keeping you alive for the fun of it. There's a purpose for why he's kept you alive. And just like the last speaker said, the wonderful man that was speaking about sickle cell. I believe God is keeping you alive for a purpose, my brother. You know, there is a purpose for it. And I pray that that purpose will not be lost on you. In Jesus' name. I don't really want to take too much of your time. We need to actually move on because we've got only 2 hours, you said, is it? Okay. By the way, the name of our organization is the Mind Cafe. As you can see on the screen, it says we train groups and individuals on how they can adjust their behavior to achieve optimal brain health and performance. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless you. I give you praise. I thank you, Lord, that you are the God of all flesh and nothing is too difficult for you. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that nobody will feel condemned by anything that we say today, but your people will be edified. The Bible says we have not received the Spirit which is from the Lord, but we have received the Spirit. We have not received the Spirit which is of the world, but the Spirit we've received is from God, so that we might know what has been freely given to us by God. Amen. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, that your people will be seated, empowered, and they will receive information, Lord, transferable information that will transform their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we bless you. We give you praise. Now, usually, we start with an icebreaker, but we don't really have time for that. So the next, can I have the next slide, please? It's me. Okay. The name of the workshop is actually The Gym, Guard Your Mind. The Gym is a Christian cognitive approach to managing the mind. God has been very, very gracious to us to give my wife and I this insight. It's something that has given us the single privilege to develop for the body of Christ. And you're going to benefit from one of the topics today, which is titled God Wants You Well. But before we go into that, we usually have a nice breaker because the gym is very, very intensive. And we are packing a 1.5 hour to 2 hours workshop into 50 minutes. So you can imagine it's actually going to be very, we are not going to cut anything out. So as we call it the gym, yes, it is a gym, and your brain is actually going to be going into some serious exercise. So we want to sort of ease you in a little bit by doing a little exercise. Can we have this Word document up? I would ask my wife to introduce this exercise. Yeah.
So we call it an icebreaker, and like my husband said, is to get your neurons in the brain excited and willing and ready to work. So we have many icebreakers. This one is called words and antonyms, which means you have some words on one side and just find the opposite of the word. Now, if you know the scripture that describes that opposite, put the scripture there, okay? Like fear. If you know the scripture, put the opposite and then put the scripture. And why do we do this? We do this because most of the words there are already logged in our brain. We have them as a network, because thoughts are real and they occupy space. You know, your pastor said that when he was, you know, when he was in that dilemma, he was like in shock. He didn't know what to do. He couldn't even call the name of Jesus. But what saved him is that he has some stored information in his brain. And that's what helped him at that moment. Because every action we do comes from our brain. So that's why it's important to be in church, to read the scriptures. Because when you're not able to open your mouth to speak, is already stored in your brain. So those words are stored in our brain, and we want to get rid of them. So by doing that, by writing the opposite, your brain is learning. You know, so in times of fear or anger, you know, the right action will take place. It looks very simple, but it works. So find the opposite of fear and put the scripture, and do as much as you can before we stop you. Okay?
Interestingly, the way I want us to do this is maybe we just call out. Ideally, we make everybody has a copy and you actually do the exercise by yourself. But we don't really have the time, so we're going to do it together. So I would like someone to just call out, I mean, or you can signify by raising your hand. What would you say is the opposite of fear? Yes?
Courage.
Courage, yes. Joshua 1 verse 6. Courage. And what does Joshua 1 verse 6 says? Be strong, be courageous. Be not afraid. And does it go on to say that no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life or something? Okay. In verse 8, yes. Good. And you could have more. What else do you have for fear? Anybody else? God has not given us the spirit of fear. What's the reference for that scripture? Sorry?
2 Timothy 7. Okay.
Yeah. So whenever fear props up in your mind, you don't entertain the fear. You immediately begin to speak about the scriptures. That's how you arrest that emotion. Next one.
Anger. Anger. So what would you say is the opposite of anger? Patience. Love. Yeah, just patience, love, yeah. Forgiveness, yeah, joy, good.
Self-control.
So what was that? Ephesians, what was that? Ephesians 4:30. Be angry and sin not. Look it up quickly. Be angry and sin not. And that's a very good scripture. Thank you. That's a very, very good scripture. So the next one, stagnant. Good. Ephesians 4:23. Thank you. Stagnant.
Progressive. Progressive. Growth. Good. Any scriptures to go with that? Sorry? We're living water. Thank you. Jealousy? Thank you. Inconsiderate? Considerate. Any scripture to go with that?
Considerate is lazy. I want another one. That's lazy. No. No, not considerate. Take that out. Inconsiderate. Sorry?
Understanding. Okay. Selfless.
Very good. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's go to the... Thank you very much. It's just a short exercise. You can do it at home. If you're feeling down or something has gone wrong, just sit down, write all the negative words that could be associated with that, and write the opposite and write scriptures. Okay? It's very powerful. It helps.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Now, like my wife said, that exercise, you can actually do it by yourself. Whenever, you know, how many of us have always had that time when your mind is just racing, so many things is going on, you are worried, just take a piece of paper and do that. Write down the negative words on one side and then just begin to find the opposite. And scientifically, this actually changes what is going on in your brain.
Wow.
In real time.
Wow. Wow.
We were at a conference like this in a church in East London, in Leighton. And it was a women's conference. A woman came to us afterwards. This woman would be in her 50s. She said, we only did about 6 words. And everybody was doing it, you know, they had their paper with them. This woman said, do we know that that exercise delivered her from a chronic, lifelong inferiority complex? That instance. That's how powerful this thing. Because every negative word in your head, useless, everything was learned. Somebody said it to you, and at that time, it stuck. So you can unlearn it by actually learning the opposite. Okay? Okay, let's move on. Okay, so we're going to God Wants You Well, the third. Yeah, good. So the title of our conference, of our seminar is God Wants You Well. You can see a Spanish word. Can everybody read what's on the screen, by the way? Is there any Spanish speaker here? Can you read that a little bit? Anybody that speaks Spanish here? No? Sorry? Dios te quiere bien. Thank you. Now, God wants you well. That's actually the translation in Spanish. But the Spanish actually says, God loves you well. That's the actual translation in Spanish. Now, the reason you have it in Spanish is because my wife is trying to learn Spanish. You may find it interesting, but there is a medical fact that as you actually advance in age, if you try to learn a new language, you actually keep dementia at bay. It's one of the things that you need to put your brain active, keep it active. And if there's anybody here that you are probably over the age of 65 and you are thinking of retiring, I advise you, don't retire. The moment your body hears you are retiring, your organs begin to pack up. That's the truth. Because you don't need them anymore. We are meant to keep working for life. Okay? So, the Bible says, I hope all is well with you and that you're as healthy in body as you're strong in spirit. That's 1 Timothy 4:8. The World Health Organization defined health in its 1948 constitution as a state of complete physical health, mental and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. Do you get that? Jesus came to set us free from mental, emotional, physical anguish because God is love. Isaiah 61:3 says, what does Isaiah 61:3 say? And yes, I said to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to bestow on them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. So Jesus actually came for your emotional well-being. Do you get that? So one of the reasons Jesus came is to deliver us. Am I getting your attention, please? It looks like you guys, your attentions are divided. Okay. Sorry, I just noticed that I lost you there. Okay. So one of the reasons Jesus came, you'll notice that I'm actually quite conscious of what you guys are up to. I'm a teacher, okay? So pay attention. So one of the reasons he came was actually to give you emotional well-being. So when we're always talking about beauty for ashes, you know, we just quote that scripture. Beauty for ashes actually means that you have hope. Amen. You know that brother, I'm telling you, man, you are on fire. I'm telling you, you are on fire. And a scripture came to me when you were speaking. That scripture is actually for your pastor. The scripture says that I and the children that the Lord has given me, we are for signs and wonders in Israel. That man is your son. And he is for signs and wonders. Amen. And you are actually going to see the manifestation of the power, the healing power of God in his life. Hallelujah. Amen. There shall be a turnaround. Amen. And there shall be no more pain. Amen. Amen. In the name of Jesus, I believe you are going to have supernatural transfusion. Yes, that you will not need transfusion again. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, the next slide, please.
Thank you. So the next slide is love. Sorry, I can't read it from. So this is an unconditional love, a commitment made by God. It's unfailing and it's powerful. And just by meditating on love, the love of God in itself can bring healing to our body, Amen. To our soul, to our spirit, to our mental health. So we have a prayer made by Paul. He said, our soul, spirit, and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It's very interesting that people don't understand they don't understand how the brain works. The brain, which is an extension of the body, you know, the mind, the soul, is the will, the intellect, the memory, emotions, cognition, perception, our attitude, our behavior. But it operates through our brain. So it's almost like the brain does the mind, or the mind is what the brain does. And the brain is composed of neurons, neuronal networks. And it's through these networks that we do everything that we do. But how many of us stop to think and to learn how the brain works? So we have a body. It houses our spirit and our mind. The mind actually is in two parts. We have a subconscious mind and a conscious mind. But the interesting thing is that 90% of our time we're in our subconscious mind. And only about 10 minutes at a time do we spend in our conscious mind. Do you know the implication of that? That most of the time we're actually in our subconscious mind. Our conscious mind is when we become attentive and we're mindful of what we're doing. For example, you're reading a book, you're using your subconscious mind. You're driving, you're using your subconscious mind. When you wake up in the morning, roll off the bed, go and have a bath, you're using your subconscious mind. So everything, most of the things we do are stored in our subconscious mind. That is why it is important for us to know, what have I stored in my subconscious mind? Somebody else would have died on that day because of what they stored in their subconscious mind. They might have stored that, the moment if I should, you know, fall into danger, that's the end of my life. You know, some people say that. They say the day I blah, 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 this is what will happen to me. That is stored in their mind. And on that day, that would happen to them. They will never be saved. So what we store in our subconscious mind is very, very important. So for us Christians, we come to church and we read scriptures, and that is stored in our mind. And when we are not able to be conscious to use it, it's actually working on our behalf.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Okay, the human brain is a hardware, and it uses the software of the human mind. It is made up of 100 billion neurons connecting to other neurons to make trillions of networks that controls our life. In other words, one single neuron is like it has fingers, makes connections with other neurons. So each neuron actually makes about 10,000 connections. So all activities in our body, day and night, are controlled by stored information knitted into these networks. You actually have a network for everything that you do. Those of you who drive cars, you have a network for driving a car. You have a network for every skill that you have. Every sickness, disease, grudge, unforgiveness, hatred, love, hurts, unbelief, mental illness are represented by neural networks in our brain.
So we talk about the renewal of the mind, Romans 12:2. I'm sure you can quote it even in your sleep. But what does it mean to renew our mind? The mind is renewed following a structural, anatomical, and chemical renewal, which leads to a rewiring of the brain. So if there isn't any rewiring of your brain, your mind isn't renewed. So that will make you understand some Christians. You say, but she says he's a Christian. He says he's a Christian. How come he's behaving like this? Well, he hasn't actually renewed his mind. Because for the mind to be renewed, the brain has to be rewired. So a stronghold in the brain is a fault in the neural network. You heard my husband say that everything we do has a network. Speaking, laughing, everything, breathing has a neuronal network. But however, unfortunately, we have some faulty neuronal network that represents a rigid, abnormal pattern of behavior. And that is why sometimes it's difficult to get rid of some behavior. A disease is a behavior, it's a neuronal network, an illness, a habit. Prayer, confessing can dissolve the stronghold, but it will take commitment, spending quality time, faith, fervency and persistence to actually get rid of it. And the confusion that happens to us is that we call a stronghold a demonic stronghold. Yes, if we have a neuronal network of unforgiveness, of unbelief, of hatred, what do you think that attracts the enemy? So of course you're going to have a demon. Of course you're going to be oppressed by Satan because you have what he wants. You have his ingredients. But actually, if you cast that demon out, it goes. However, if the stronghold is still there, the network is still there, guess what happens? What happens? Relapse. And so people keep going for deliverance. No, you need to actually get hold of your mind and get rid of that stronghold of hatred, of unforgiveness or unbelief that keeps attracting the devil. So, however, under the glory cloud, strong anointing, the right mindset, the right attitude, the right expectation, any stronghold can disappear. I'll give you an example. A man who's had for years a drug addiction. Of course, he has a neuronal network, a faulty network. They've prayed, they've done everything. However, this person presents in the right mindset, under the anointing, and the stronghold disappears. And for 20 years after that, he still doesn't go back to the drug addiction. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord has totally removed that stronghold. It was a stronghold. It was actually a faulty network in the brain. But the Lord removed it. And that can happen.
Okay. You heard that. So why do people keep going back, or you are ministering to someone, you prayed for them before, they come again, you start shouting in Jesus' name, you know, you start casting out demons, and then the person begins to manifest. Because people manifest, you believe they still got the demon. No, it's just the brain has now become accustomed to how that person behaves when it hears in the name of Jesus. It's not a demon, it's just his brain that's got the wrong wiring, and it starts manifesting, and we all get excited. And a lot of these things are abuse.
Yes, that's right.
There are many of us sitting here. We still struggle with unforgiveness. We still struggle with using bad words. Do you understand? You need to deal with it.
That's right.
Then you don't need to go for deliverance.
That's right, sir.
That in itself is deliverance. So prepare. So, I mean, this one says, guard up the loins of your mind. That's Peter 1:13. Prepare and strengthen oneself for future actions. This is what this means. So the dictionary definition of guarding one's loins. In the Bible, the scripture was compared to men who tie up. Sorry about the mix up in the sentence there. But it's about men tying up their dangling or loose clothing for practical purposes, so it does not get in their way. So many scriptures refers to us managing our minds, training it, to building it, repairing it, and guarding it. Why?
So I read one to you. Luke 21:34-36 says, be your guard, be on your guard, so that your minds are not dulled from carousing, drunkenness, and worries of life. This is Jesus saying that. Or that day will come on you unexpectedly like a trap. Jesus is wanting us to do something about our mind, to train our mind, to guard up the loins of our mind.
Guard up the loins of your mind. Look, this diagram actually explains what it was in those days to gird up your loins. You remember Elijah? The Bible says he gird up his loins and he ran past the chariot. This is what happened. But the Bible is saying gird up your loins. In other words, your loins needs to be prepared for battle. We always say the mind is a battleground and all that stuff. But your mind actually should be a soldier. You know, Paul says, he that worreth, entangleth not himself with the affairs of this life. He's talking about your mind. He's talking about, don't let your mind be affected by the things that are going on around you. Who's building house? Who's not building house? Who's got a new car? Who's not got a new car? Whose children is doing better? Whose children is not doing better? I'm telling you, it's damaging to your health. Because it's not just worry. Every thought that we have produces a corresponding chemical in our brain. And it's going around your body to cause you stress. And the stresses are not just in your body. It's in the organs. And then they wonder why the person had kidney failure. Next slide, please.
Serving God. The praise and worship was so wonderful because we mentioned a lot about serving God. We want to serve God. The Bible says in Romans 7:25, it is with the mind that we serve God. But how can we love him with all our heart, soul, strength, and might if we do not know how the mind works? How? We desire to serve him with our mind, yes. But if you don't know how it works, how are you going to serve him? If you don't know that 20% of our thoughts is what we consciously know about, what is going on in the 80%? What am I thinking about, the 80% that is subconscious? I don't even know what it is. What about your brain not being able to distinguish between reality and imagination? Did you know that? That your brain cannot make a difference between what you are imagining and what is real. And I show you in the scriptures, when Jesus was talking to his disciples, he mentioned that if you lust after, do you remember that scripture? What did he say? You have. But then you could argue with him, I haven't touched a woman. But he said, if you think in your mind, if you imagine, you've done it already. Because Jesus knew that if they were able to put that person through neuroimaging to look at what is happening in the brain, you cannot tell the difference between the person that is actually sleeping with somebody and the person that's thinking about it. Because your brain treats what you imagine and real the same. Wow. So if you don't know that, how are you going to serve God with all your mind? If you don't know that thinking affects how your genes express itself, you're saying that I've been praying and praying and praying and fasting. I'm not healed. God doesn't love me. Why? What? But you don't know that your thinking actually affects your genes expression. That if my father has cancer, it doesn't mean I have to have cancer, depending on how I use my thinking. Because our thinking turns our genes on and off. Did you know that? Your DNA is affected by how you think. So thinking affects our genes. You can turn bad genes on or off depending on your prevailing thoughts. Also, how are you going to serve the Lord if you don't understand that we can only recall 10% of what we read? Oh, I read my Bible every day. I always read my Bible, but there's no answer. I'm not succeeding what I'm reading. But only 10% of what you read is what you can recall. That's why it's not working for you. 30% of what we hear is what we recall. 50% of what we both see and hear is what we recall. 70% of what we say and 90% of what we simultaneously say and do is what we recall. So what does that suggest to us? I want to recall 90% of what I've seen in the Bible. So I'm going to read it, I'm going to say it, I'm going to do it. And that comes through meditation, meditating the word. Meditating the word. Error in our thinking occurs because we lack knowledge about how the kingdom operates. God's word works. It does work. So we should stop saying that God isn't healing me. No, he has healed us actually. God's word works. It works. It is ought that does not understand the word, nor do we have the ability to apply the word correctly. Thank God for the revelation of neuroscientific principles that sheds light on human body and mind. My brother, when he came out to talk to us, he said he believes in divine healing. He also believes in science. But science and divine healing are the same. Neuroscience principles shows that it's actually God behind all this scientific discovery. Let us not be deceived. It is God that is behind it. It's all His. There's nothing that does not belong to God. The scientist belongs to God. The scientist is only discovering what God has made. Yes. So let's not. You see, it's like we're just having half of what God has given us. He's given us everything. Psalm 139:13 says, "We were delicately woven in our mother's womb." How many of us have meditated on that scripture to fully grasp what it means? God made us perfect. He made us perfect. He even made our body to be able to heal itself. Did you know that?
Yes.
He made our body, he gave us the ability to heal ourselves. Like people, you say they have spontaneous remission of cancer. The doctor has already told them they're going to die in 3 months, but they're here 10 years later, they're sick. Why? Because their body healed itself. God is not a miracle. God made it so. God made our body to be able to heal itself. If you have a cut, do you tell your body, oh, come on now, you have to heal yourself? What happens? It begins to heal itself. Well, every disease is supposed to do that. Our body is supposed to do that for every disease. But why doesn't it do that? Can you guess? Why doesn't it heal itself? We don't tell it to, yes. What else? Our thinking. Thank you very much. Our expectation, our belief, our mind. So the body is confused. God made our body to be able to heal itself, but it is confused. And that is why the Bible was telling us to renew our mind. Don't think the way the world thinks. The world thinks on statistics. That one in so many people will have this. That is how the world thinks. The Bible says we should renew our mind. Let's think how Jesus thinks, how God thinks. So our body can recover and begin to behave as God wants us to behave.
Amen.
I want us to quickly read Proverbs 4:20. Can somebody quickly read Proverbs 4:20 to 22? Somebody fast. Oh, good.
Listen to my words. Never let them get away from you. Remember them and keep them in your heart. They will give life and health to anyone who understands them. Amen. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Never say anything that isn't true. Have nothing to do with lies and misleading words.
Thank you. Amen. Sorry, is the mic working? Okay. Now, that scripture says it is what the word is, health to all our flesh. They are life to those who find them and health to their whole body. God has many covenant names. This is an assurance for us that God means what he says and he says what he means. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals us, assures us that God will never break his covenant. That was actually one way God called himself in the Old Testament. He said, I am the Lord that heals thee. Exodus 15:26 says, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and will do that which is right in his sight and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. That God has not changed.
Amen.
It is God's will for us to be healed. Remember, the Spanish translation says, God loves you well. In other words, it is his pleasure. It is his desire. It is his wish. Amen. Nothing makes him happier than seeing you well. So, whenever we are unwell, it's got nothing to do with God. Child of God, maybe someday you might find yourself at the other end of these promises. Never let hold of that thought that God has not put that on you. And what that does for you is that it gives you peace, that your God has not forsaken you. Amen. The wilderness experience. God instructed Moses to make a replica of a poisonous snake and attach it to the top of a bronze, and told the children of Israel who had sinned against God to look at it. With obedience, they were healed. The medical symbol today, that's what they use as a medical symbol today. Scientists are God's agent helping us to discover what is freely given to us for the abundant life. So like my wife said, it is not a dichotomy. Science is just a mere study of what's already there. Amen.
So Jesus went about doing good. I mean, this shows the attitude of God and Jesus to us. Jesus went about doing good. He healed, he provided, he delivered from demons, he raised from the dead. The communion is another provision. 1 Corinthians 11, 26, 29 talks about, Jesus said we should do this in his remembrance. We should break bread in his remembrance. We should remember his flesh. We should remember his blood. It is important that we accurately discern the body. Why? So that we can be healed, so that we don't die. So that it's not an exercise, a religious exercise to go for communion. No, something is happening when we go for communion. Our body is responding when we, go for communion. It's not a joke. It's something that's happening, and we should be able to discern it so we can get the full benefit. Jesus was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised physically and emotionally. He was whipped. Meditate on that scripture. And that will help you know that God wants us well. No matter the disease or the sickness, dementia, cancer, whatever it is, he wants us healed. Healing is done, but it may not be registered. Sometimes we are healed, but it's not registered. And why? It's because of the complexity of how our brain works. There was a man in the 50s who used to operate on women. He used to do amputation and, do some facial reconstruction. And he discovered that these women and people who had this went through this surgery still felt that they had a limb, even though the limb had been cut off, or still felt that the facial disfigurement was still there. And he said it took them about a minimum of 21 days before they realized that they had changed. Why was that happening? Why did the person who had an amputation still feel that he had a leg there? It's because of the neuronal network, the representation in the brain. Remember, everything is represented in our brain. And sometimes it takes time for everything to catch up. So when you're healed, you're healed. But sometimes the representation in the brain makes it feel as if we are not healed yet.
So that means when you are prayed for, it doesn't matter that you are still feeling the symptoms. It is your belief. Okay? You need to believe that you are healed and walk away. The next day people still see you, they say, "But bro, you say you are healed." Yeah. You forget about what you're looking at. I'm healed. Amen. And you go your way.
Amen.
Amen.
And again, don't take it that we're saying, then stop your medication. No, we didn't say that. Because the mind is very complex. The moment, even though you're believing and trusting and confessing, and you say, because of that, I'm going to stop my... No, don't stop your medication, because your mind is going to start playing tricks on you. And start saying, "Oh, you stopped your medication and now you're going downhill." So continue to take your medication, continue to see the doctor, but you continue to confess and believe and trust that you have been healed. The doctor themselves are the ones going to ask you to stop the medication, but don't ever stop it yourself. So how can we engraft the scriptures into our life? The answer is in Proverbs that we read. You have to meditate on the word, because in real time, the scriptures, they become entangled in our neuronal network. So that's why the Bible says that it's only the engrafted word, the word has been, that can make a difference. It's only the engrafted word that can bring healing. So it's not just confessing, you confess it until it becomes one with your brain, with your body, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So how do we receive healing? Well, now we received our salvation by believing when we heard and confessing it. Amen. Believe, confess, and receive. That is the heart, that our mind is very relevant in the matter. The mind, I mean, at your salvation, there was a renewal of your mind. As far as salvation is concerned, there was a rewiring structurally, there was a biological change. This allowed for a spiritual transference, a downloading. Some people at the point of this spiritual experience, some strongholds are loosened for them. There's a disruption of faulty, toxic, entangled neural network that has plagued them for years. The day I received my salvation, I was instantly delivered from addiction to weed. And I've not smoked weed since then. And I'm talking, what year? 1970, 1985. Amen. This was me. If I didn't smoke, I wouldn't eat. I had to, daily, the moment I gave my life to Christ, I never had the urge. I wasn't trying to be good. There was a transference. Amen. Yeah. But there's another type of healing. It's called recovery. Recovery takes time. Your body, your brain, your mind, the faulty networks, they slowly disentangle and disconnect as you take in the word of truth. That's why people, they're saved, but you still find them down the road, they're smoking. And say, but that guy said, they're saved. Forget it. Stop judging people by the actions that you see. Amen. Because we don't actually know how God does this thing. Some people is instantaneous. Some people it takes time. So some people 5 years down the line, they're totally delivered. Amen. But then there's also an instant one like I experienced. It's called a miracle. Amen. Like your salvation was a miracle. Amen. Spontaneous remission is another type. Then there's also something called the biology of belief. They're even studying that in universities right now. I think my wife should explain that. It's a bit complex.
Now, molecular biologist Bruce Lipton, he studied stem cells in the 1960s, and he discovered that our cells actually respond to the environment, and he coined the word biology of belief. That is, this has nothing to do with being a Christian or not, that what you believe, your body believes. What you expect, your body expects. This has been shown scientifically. I remember Jesus told the woman, he said, your faith has healed you. Jesus didn't say, I healed you. He said, your faith has healed you. And science has come to understand that there's something called a biology of belief. Wow. In Romans 10:10, it says that the word is near you, it's in your mouth. So our deliverance is actually in our mouth. Amen. It's not out there, it's in our mouth. Your cells hear your words and know your thoughts. Your tissue, your organ, your liver knows what you're thinking about, your heart.
So if you want to investigate the biology of belief, the scientific name for it is called epigenetics. You can look it up. Yeah.
Okay. The role of faith. Now, the Bible says that God calls those things that be not as though they were. We should be doing the same thing because we are faith people. The evidence that you have what you want is already your faith. Unbelief is the enemy of our healing. You know, unbelief is just terrible. Sometimes we can have faith, but there's that unbelief, that network, that stronghold that is there disturbing our faith. Jesus had to take a man out of a city full of unbelief in order to help him receive his healing because he was among negative people around him and he wasn't going to receive his healing. So Jesus had to take him out so that he could believe. So that his faith could be maintained. And how do we have faith? The Bible says it comes by hearing the word of God. And let me tell you, as you're listening to the word of God, we're reading scriptures, in real time, our body is responding to that word. Our mind, our brain is changing as we listen to that word. Because the brain isn't static, it keeps changing. If we continue to hear the word, it will keep changing. But what happens is that we become discouraged. And what happens to the mind? It just recoils back to business as usual. And that is why it seems that we've got it, and then the next minute is as if we haven't got it. Because the mind, the brain is plastic, it changes. So the what we need to do is to be persistent and constant at the word. We had a lot of testimonies. It's a wonderful day today for every one of us. Our organs are so happy. Our cells are so happy. Our heart is so happy. Why? Because we heard testimonies. We heard the goodness of God. We were praising God and thanking God. Testimony helps us to keep doubt and unbelief away.
Amen.
We read Revelation 12:11, how we overcome, isn't it? By the words of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Worship, praise, and thanksgiving keeps faith strong. Praise encourages our trust in our powerful God. So actually, we have everything. We haven't come here to come and give you anything extra. We have everything. It's just how to use it, how to apply it. That's what we've come to support you with. Cursing, sometimes when we are waiting on God, the Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. It's true. When you're waiting and waiting and waiting, you could be sick. And then sometimes we're tempted to begin to say all kinds of things. One, we are actually canceling everything we've been praying for by doing that. And we're also praising the enemy. The fact that I haven't got what I'm believing God for now doesn't mean I should start praising the devil by saying all kinds of negative things. We need to keep praising God until we get that which he has promised.
Yeah, and just in addition, when my wife said we are here to encourage you, we are also here to affirm what you already have. Let me tell you, there's a lot of discouragement out there. You heard earlier when your pastor was talking about things that are going on, that are stressing our mind, you know, the news and all the happenings all over the world. It is important for us to know that we've got everything that we need to sustain us in all these calamities in the Word of God. I'm telling you, there's nothing else out there. I don't even know why the government does not approve of Christian counseling at the utmost. I'm telling you, if you need counseling, you had better go for Christian counseling. Look for Christian counselors. If you are looking for psychotherapists, look for Christian psychotherapists. I'm telling you. Because there is no good news outside of the church. You can quote me. And I'm not talking about man. I'm talking about God. When I say the church, I'm talking about the Word of God. There is no good news outside of it. Amen. Anxiety. So we're talking about dealing with anxiety and voices. Anxiety is real. It physically and emotionally drains us. The mind becomes less productive and we are vulnerable to the enemy. To counter this, we must take in Philippians 4:6 and engage with it. Remember, in real time, our body and mind changes with each experience. And what does Philippians 4:6 say? Be anxious for nothing. By prayer and supplication,
thanksgiving.
Because known unto God. Amen. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. In the face of actual panic attack, you can engage in breathing exercises which will terminate a panic attack. How many people know that? Yeah. But how many people do that? That's another story. Allowing you to focus on following the instructions from the Word.
Because a panic attack is real. I don't know, has anybody ever had a panic attack before? You think you're going mad. But well, you can just simple breathing exercises, breathing in, holding it to the count of four and to six, and then slowly releasing that and do it maybe 10 or 12 times will actually terminate a panic attack. Then you can focus and read the Word and confess the Word. So we're being practical here. Because somebody might see that and say, oh, you haven't had a panic attack. That's why you're saying what you're saying. But yes, a panic attack can be terminated.
Amen. Amen. Meditation is the key. The Bible says it will keep in perfect peace those whose mind is stayed on him because they trust in him. Your pastor quoted that earlier. That's a very powerful scripture. Don't just quote it. Live it. Confess scriptures until you become immersed in it. Now, voices in the head, the mind or brain, whether it's due to abnormal activities in the brain or from the enemy, they're also subject to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Why do I say that? Philippians 2:9-12. Who knows about that? The Bible says, because of his obedience unto death, therefore God has given him what? A name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. You can speak to voices like that. I'm telling you. You can actually say to that, say, listen to me. Whatever, call the voice and give it a name, Lucy, whatever you are. This is what the word of God says. And be quoting scriptures at them. Amen. Amen. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. These are wonderful scriptures. Don't just quote it, live it.
Amen.
I'm telling you, when nobody's looking, begin to talk to yourself in the room. Serious argument. Nobody's hearing you. So nobody's going to say you've lost your mind. Amen? A sound mind is what we have been promised. Anything contrary to that must be rejected. Why? The Bible says the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent takes it by force. Amen. You've got a mouth. Use it.
So the spirit sustains us in sickness, Proverbs 18:4. Studies have shown that Christians who fall ill and admitted to hospital dwindle in their faith and have increased mortality. So they die very quickly. Our spirit is saved, and you will not get a new spirit when you die. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. So spirit is sorted. Our minds, however, need to be renewed. The hope is that our spirit, soul, and body will be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So a renewed mind, a renewed way of thinking, renewed paradigm, renewed mindset is how we can receive things already in our spirit now. We have everything in our spirit now. Every spiritual blessing in heaven places in us now. Prosperity, everything we're running helter-skelter for, it's actually already deposited in our spirit. But why aren't we experiencing it? Because our mind needs to be renewed, to be able to receive, to download what is already in the spirit. What happens is that it's easy to download the evil spirit because we are living in unforgiveness and all that. So it's quick. However, if we renew our mind, we can also download those wonderful things already in our spirit.
Can I just interject there? There's a scripture that actually explains what she's saying. You know, the Bible says that, it says, thanks be to God that gives. It's not even that. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us
with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places.
In Christ Jesus. It is not in our soul. It's in our spirit, man. When you got born again, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm was deposited in your spirit, man.
Amen.
But we now need to educate our mind.
To gain access.
To gain access into what has been freely given to us by God.
So Andrew Womack says, Christians are dying of sickness and disease and going to heaven, good, haven't had the life-giving force within them all the while. Isn't that sad? They have all the life-giving force. Everything is there. But they were not able to access it. And, you know, so.
So, what are the causes of illness? So, this is the scientific application of the word of God to health. Now, 13% of our illnesses are due to diet, environment, genetics, and 18% to pattern of thought. 87% to your pattern of thought. So, which means our thoughts actually make us sick. More than what we eat or the environment. Toxins, injury, and thoughts produce illness as well.
So that's another...
That's Bruce Lipton.
He also has research. He said, okay, illnesses are due to toxins. You might have a poison, salmonella, or whatever. You can become ill. You can have an injury, car accident, not you, or whatever, fall down and become ill. But he said thoughts threaten survival. Thoughts threaten survival.
Now, words coming out of our mouth defile us. Jesus said that in Matthew 15:11. You can look that up. Then Charles Capps, in one of his books, God's Creative Power, says God told him that confessing the word of God is the scientific application of the word of God to our psychology. If you have not read Charles Capps, I'm going to try and find some of his books. I mean, he's an old Christian writer. He's late now, I think. Andrew Newberg, a Christian neurotheologian, says that Christians and monks that were found praying improve when they meditate for about, I think, 15 minutes a day, they actually put their brain under neuroimaging studies and found that the brain actually changes due to meditation for 15 minutes a day. And how many people know that prayer is meditation? You need to know that. He found that the amygdala, a structure in our brain which causes toxic emotions, can be tamed by prayer and meditation. Every time you worry, it's the amygdala. It's a very tiny structure in the brain. It's always irrational. It's always telling you everything is going to go wrong. They are going to take your child. They are going to take your house. They're going to close you down. You're going to have this. You're going to have that. That is the amygdala. Now, if you now take a pen, I'm telling you, this works. This is scientific. When these worries are coming, take a pen and start writing down everything the amygdala is saying. Do you know what happens? Because your frontal lobe is the part you use in writing. That's your executive function. The frontal lobe begins to look at what you're writing and it begins to say, oh, but that's not doesn't make sense. Then it tells the amygdala to shut up.
Amen.
By the time, amen. By the time, I'm telling you, by the time you write down 12 things, you're feeling better. This is scientific. You can do it. You know, it doesn't cost you anything. He also found that prayer reduces the shrinkage of the brain found in dementia. Apparently, prayer actually reduces the aging process.
Wow.
It acts on the frontal lobe. Yeah, wow. Prayer. That's why, you know, I'm not trying to embarrass her. That's why your pastor looked the way she looks. I'm telling you, when you meet Christians, you'll be saying, is that person that old? No, it can't be. I'm telling you, it's the proof of their lifestyle. Amen?
So neuroplasticity, each of our brain changes with experience. The brain circuits, the neuronal network, structure and biochemistry change through learning, acting, and thinking. Worrying leads to illness because it brings about biochemical and structural change of the brain. Thinking wrongly brings about stress chemicals that damages our tissue and our brain. We are made up of 50 trillion cells and they are influenced by our thoughts because each and every one of our DNA, that giant molecular structure invisible to our naked eye, can be influenced by what we think and what we say. And I want to quickly read Hebrews to you. 11, where is it? For the word of God is alive, is powerful, it is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. The word of God enters our system. It enters our brain. It enters our cells. It's there. I didn't say it. That's what the word of God says.
Amen.
So we actually define meditation in our ministry as the ingestion of the medicinal potency of God's word.
Hallelujah.
I'll say it again. Meditation is the ingestion that's into your system of the medicinal potency of God's word. Amen. By the way, neuroplasticity, that word that you saw there, actually means that your brain can change. The brain is plastic. That's the way God made it. Amen.
Amen.
You can be smarter.
Amen.
I'm telling you, if you don't even have school cert, which is what they did in our time, I don't know what they call it now, you can actually go now at the age of 60 and pass school cert and go to university. I'm telling you. There have been 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds who actually went and studied medicine. Amen?
Amen?
You've heard of it. You can, depending on what you subject your brain to, you can actually have a better mind, a better brain, and a better understanding of things. This is the last slide. So we're talking about the true bread here now. The true bread is the bread of life, the word of God. As we feed on chicken, eggs, vegetables, nutrients flow through our body into different parts of our body and grow. They replace old tissues and they heal us. When we feed on the word of God, there is the exchange of thoughts that causes brain changes, which leads to our body changing as well as sustaining good health. So when Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God, it's actually for this purpose. In fact, I will just simplify that scripture and say, man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then you'll be wondering, how do I know every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? The Bible, me speaking to you, when you pick up the phone and you speak to another Christian and they share the word and they encourage you, every time I'm telling you, God is speaking to us. Through your child, sometimes you say something nasty and your child says, ah, mommy, we are not supposed to say that. That's God speaking to you. Amen. So in conclusion, we are saying to you, you've already got it. Why looking out there? Study to make yourself approved. Amen. A workman that need not be ashamed before God. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening and hope that you have been richly blessed. For more information on Word Fountain Christian Ministries and service times, please log on to wordfountain.org or call the office on 01865 402 108. We look forward to seeing you. God bless. Yeah.